It's time to awaken to your ultimate potential.
Always something to learn.
The more real and truthful you can get with yourself, the happier you're going to be.
Nothing happens in the comfort zone.
There are no set rules on how to attain success and to feel fulfilled.
Each one of us are born with a purpose.
For me, I knew there was something bigger.
You don't conquer the mountain, you conquer yourself.
I'm Crystal Bauer, wellness expert and entrepreneur. Each week, I'm speaking with incredible individuals, inspiring you to awaken your ultimate potential. Welcome to the Live Greatly podcast.
You can't just make a decision and all of a sudden you eat all these vegetables and your body doesn't want sugar anymore. That takes time. And a lot of people don't know how to cook. So you have to slowly figure out how to make foods that are healthy taste good so that you actually want to eat them and you don't think it's a chore.
Does the word diet make you cringe? I'm so excited to be chatting with Daria Rose today, who's the author of Foodist, Using Real Food and Real Science to Lose Weight Without Dieting. Daria received her doctorate in neuroscience. She's also the host of the Daria Rose Show. We're going to be talking about how to create healthy habits, also how to deal with cravings, and how to not diet and really have a healthy relationship with food. I'm so excited to share this with you. So let's go ahead, jump right into it, and welcome Daria Rose to the show.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. So I'm hoping we can start by you just sharing a little bit about yourself, what you're excited about, and anything that you're currently working on.
Oh, yeah. So myself. Big question. Yeah. I mean, I'm old. I've been through a lot. So, my background is neuroscience, let's say. I have a PhD from UC San Francisco in neuroscience. I did my thesis on adult neural stem cell development. But the sort of side story is that while I was becoming a scientist and learning about protein kinases and all the big words from science, I had grown up in Southern California in the 80s and 90s and had been dieting since I was 11 years old, which was absolutely absurd. And that I was not overweight. There was nothing wrong with me. The problem was the culture and because my mom was doing it. But it created this like lifetime of struggle with food and my body and exercise. Like it was just, I mean, anybody who's been through this knows like what a disaster that is and how much stress and pain it can cause. And eventually, after 15 years of dieting, I just got so fed up with it. I decided to spend my like nights and weekends researching how to fix this problem. And actually with the actual primary research, you know, because before that, I'd just been following trendy diets. Like I didn't really know the difference between what was healthy or what wasn't. I didn't care. I just wanted something that would work and solve this problem. And I discovered in that process that I was doing everything exactly wrong, that dieting makes you more likely to gain weight over the long run than lose weight. And that the people who don't struggle with this, what they never diet, what they do is they just have a bunch of habits that make them slightly healthier than other people. Mm-hmm. So they tend to cook more, for instance, like eat a lot of vegetables. They tend to be naturally active throughout their day instead of like doing crazy workout programs. And I mean, obviously there are fit people who do crazy workout programs, I'm not a professional athlete. I was just trying to like not be struggling all the time. And so I just took this, I just like put down the protein bars and was like, okay, I'm going to eat oatmeal. And, I felt like I just had nothing else to lose at that point. And to my astounding shock, I didn't start massively gaining weight because I started eating carbs and 3 meals a day. I actually stayed the same for a while and then slowly started to lose weight. Very slowly, super slowly. It took several years, but eventually I got almost 7 pounds or something below my goal weight without even trying, eating more than I'd ever eaten. And most importantly, eating foods that were actually good, like delicious, that I loved. And I became obsessed with the farmer's market. Mm-hmm. I started cooking for myself. I got really into food. I started, you know, following celebrity chefs and going to fancy restaurants with like, you know, as a grad student, I had zero money, but like, I would like save all month to go to one restaurant a month. And I had one friend that would go with me.
So fun.
and that turned into a whole philosophy that I felt like I had to tell people. And so I launched a blog called Summer Tomato and started telling this story. And it really resonated with people really quickly and quickly became a really popular blog. And so when I ended up finishing my PhD, I, instead of going straight into a postdoc, I decided to write a book. And then I wrote a book and did that for a while and kept blogging. And then a few years ago, my husband and I decided to start a family. And so I took a little break. And then 6 months after having my first kid, I got pregnant again. Wow. And that was a lot. So I'm not one of those people who loves being pregnant. It's hard on me. And not like hard, but like hard enough that I didn't want to be blogging a lot. I mean, sure. I did a little bit. I did a little bit with my podcast. I had a podcast too called Foodist. And I did a little bit with that at the time. But then I had another baby and then I had two babies and then it was a pandemic. So I'm just sort of reemerging now. And I actually relaunched a new show called The Daria Rose Show, which I've branched out a little bit. So it's not just personal health anymore. I talk more about, because so one of the things I really got into with Summer Tomato is helping people change their habits. Because one of the things that I learned is, yes, bad information is a big problem with people getting healthy, but any of their even bigger problem is that once people know the information, they have a lot of trouble implementing it. So I was really getting into helping people change behaviors, and it's something I got really good at. And so that was sort of my focus for a while, but now I'm sort of using that whole framework to tackle sort of bigger problems, like, you know, misinformation in the news and vaccine hesitancy and things like that. So that's really fun. I've had like an amazing response from my audience. They've been really cool about sticking with me and following what I'm doing. And it's been fun, but you know, it's also challenging doing it with two toddlers. So,
yeah. Wow. Well, you've had an incredible journey and I'm so excited to like dig into all of those little details that you just shared. And one of the things that stood out that you said early on was that you started dieting at 11, right? Was it 11? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I have a memory of, this was high school. So I was probably a freshman or sophomore. And I have a memory of going out to lunch with a friend I had just met. And we were at like a local country club, but I didn't really go to country clubs before that. And she ordered a salad and was like, no croutons. She's like, I'm on the Atkins diet. And I remember at that point, like, what's the Atkins diet? Like, why do you care about carbs? And I was so clueless. And then I look as I went about my life and there were so many differing views and opinions and so much information out there about what to do, what not to do. And for me, I was in functional medicine for quite a while. And there were certain opinions about what you should do, what you shouldn't do. And then integrative medicine, it was more my style as far as more plant-based eating. And I love what you just said that now you're exploring, you're eating foods that taste really good. And I'm curious, do you consider this like intuitive eating or how do you describe what you're doing right now? Because that you just described sounds kind of like what I'm trying to encompass, of like listening to my body, not eliminating anything specifically, but eating more what feels good, what I respond well to. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So I don't use the term intuitive eating. And part of the reason, I mean, I don't know a ton about it, but part of the reason I don't is because I think a lot of people's intuitions are really wrong early on. Yeah. And the reason is because it takes months, maybe a year or more for your body to really understand what it means to eat nourishing food. And it's hard to just kind of like, you know, like a lot of people aren't naturally inclined to have a salad. So it is, yeah. So I would say what I do is I make an effort to find things that I really, really, truly love eating. And whether that is something that is considered healthy, vegetables, seasonal foods. I mean, it doesn't have to be vegetables. It can be delicious grains, like delicious, high quality meat or desserts. You know, if I'm going to bother eating something that's got sugar in it. And well, I'm at a point now where, I mean, sugar like has a massive impact on me. Like I'm like, I get, you know, I have to be careful because my body's not used to it anymore.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to have something that's indulgent, heavier, richer, sweeter, I'm very picky about what it is because I'm at the point where I love the healthy food so much. I'm not going to bother with a crappy dessert. Like if I'm going to eat a dessert, it's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'll pay more money for it. I'll do it on a special occasion. Like I do it less often than I would like you know, when I was dieting, I would like always had a Ben and Jerry's in the freezer, like just in case, you know, and I would just sort of eat that whenever. And it was, I mean, yes, it was enjoyable in the sense that it was a relief from the willpower I'd been using for several days to not eat it. But I mean, it wasn't like the best thing in the world or like something I felt that was really special. And I actually, you know, I was like standing in the kitchen by the, you know, like, yeah. I would never do anything like that anymore. And so, but it doesn't come at once. You can't just make a decision and all of a sudden you eat all these vegetables and your body doesn't want sugar anymore. That takes time. And a lot of people don't know how to cook. So you have to slowly figure out how to make foods that are healthy taste good so that you actually want to eat them and you don't think it's a chore. And that whole process is takes time and self-reflection and effort. And it's a process. And I think that's the biggest message is that you kind of just have to start one habit at a time and not pretend that you can overhaul everything in one day and then just eat whatever you want. Cause that's just not how it is.
Mm-hmm. Right. And what you're saying really resonates too, because I'm thinking about like the gut microbiome and people have cravings and that takes time to change. Mm-hmm. So it does make sense that if you're trying to intuitively eat, but your gut microbiome and your cravings are saying you really want those cookies, then right. That's maybe not the best for your overall well-being versus if you're in a place where you're starting to gradually incorporate more, you know, healthier foods, then you might be in a better place to listen to your body, to know what, you know, you really need. Curious what your thoughts are on cravings and how can people approach them in a way to actually support well-being and optimal health?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I'm just going to back up for 1 second about what you're saying. Like, I think about it, like, I always think in terms of the behavior. Like, I don't think in terms of what you want necessarily. Or like a goal in terms of like losing weight or like, if you want to make change in your life, you have to sort of start one behavior at a time. And where your feelings come in is just sort of asking yourself what you actually enjoy eating and starting open-minded and saying to yourself, like, I need to eat healthy foods. I need to figure that out. So the question then becomes, well, what do I have to do to make vegetables appealing enough to me to get me to the place where I'm that person who eats vegetables all the time? So maybe that means being really picky about, you know, for me, I won't move to a city where I can't get good quality produce. I lived in New York for a while and I was like, bye. sorry guys, I can't eat your food. I mean, like the restaurants are great, but like the grocery stores aren't great. So that was really hard for me. So, you know, maybe it's being very thoughtful about where you live. Maybe it's being spending the extra time on a weekend to go to the farmer's market. Maybe it's spending more money to go to a better restaurant or something like that. In terms of cravings, so it's tricky. Cravings, I feel like they're coming from somewhere deeper. Like your body doesn't need 10 Oreos. Like yeah. Something in you needs 10 Oreos, but it's not your body. So you sort of need to figure out what's going on and why that's coming up for you. And maybe you're not eating enough. Maybe you're specifically not eating enough carbs. Maybe maybe you need to eat more rice or something so that, because 70 calories of rice is a much better choice than 400 calories of Oreos. And even though it's a carb, you know, yeah. And so it's really important to, I think, figure out where those cravings are coming from and then address the real problem. Working out too hard, too much can be a big source of cravings for people. And then there's emotional eating. You know, a lot of people have triggers around certain foods or have a habit of sort of self-soothing with sugar or rich foods. And that, you know, you need a therapist. So, you know, it's like it's tricky, but there's also things, there is data on cravings and they are temporary. So, you know, there is something to be said about sort of sitting with that discomfort and being okay with it. So there's some work you can do. There's something called surfing the urge, for anybody who's read about the craving scientific literature, that, you know, it starts with like smokers and stuff, but, you know, people can sit with it and just sort of feel it. And your instinct is to fight, right? And to make it stop, make this discomfort stop. But there's it's a powerful skill, kind of like a Buddhist monk would have, to be able to sit through discomfort and just be and just deal with it. And you don't have to like it. And realizing that like, that's okay. You don't have to like every second of your life, but it'll end, you know, and that's something that you can work on. But I think probably also there's something deeper going on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It also will need to be addressed eventually if cravings are coming up often.
You know that I am all about things that support our minds and our bodies. And that is one of the reasons I am so excited about our sponsor, Reishi Tea and Botanicals. I've been drinking Reishi's teas for over 12 years. So I'm so excited to share their amazingness with you. They offer premium tea and botanicals imported directly from gardens across the world, drawing inspiration from ancient artisanal practices that use organic cultivation techniques. Something I'm really excited about is they recently launched Sparkling Botanicals, the line of light, refreshing, functional beverages crafted with imported fruits, spices, and herbs. I've tried them and they're delicious. They're focused on real ingredients, no artificial sweeteners or added sugars, variety, direct trade, health benefits, and also being eco-friendly. If you want to give their delicious teas and sparkling botanicals a try, use the code LIVEGREATLY for 25% off, expiring December 31st, 2021. So segueing a little bit into habits, I know you are, I'm sure you have a lot of information on this topic. Now, I've read different data on habits, and there was differing opinions and different studies that show it takes X number of days to form a habit. And then there's large ranges. Well, it could be this amount. It could be 66 days. It could be more. It could be less. What are your thoughts on it? What have you seen as far as research and your own personal views about creating a habit? How long does it take and where should people start? A healthy habit.
Yeah, it really depends on the habit. I think that's why the data is all over the place. Some are super easy. Like a super easy one for me, for example, was just starting eating oatmeal for breakfast. I used to not eat breakfast. I started eating oatmeal for breakfast. It literally takes 2 minutes to cook, 7 minutes to eat. It wasn't a huge difficulty. And then I realized I really enjoyed it. I realized that it made me less hungry. I will way like massively cut down my sugar cravings. Mm. Just like one little thing of oatmeal in the morning. Huh. It's crazy because I was starving myself of carbs and I'm really physically active. So my body was like, you know, by the end of the day, I was like ice cream.
but
I would like eat like half a bag of trail mix or something ridiculous. But once I started eating breakfast, and then I had this, like, not only was it like nice to have breakfast and like have something tasty in the morning, but I had like really obvious results that turned out well. So that habit was a no-brainer. Learning to cook is a habit that's composed, or like cooking regularly is a habit that's composed of, I don't know, like 12 different skills. Right. And if you didn't learn that growing up from someone, you know, they don't teach you in school or anything. If no one ever taught you, that can feel super daunting. And then I've talked to so many people about this. There's so many problems that come up. So people will buy food and they don't really know what to do with it. So they don't cook it and it rots in their fridge. And then they feel bad for like wasting food, or they'll find some complicated recipe that sounds good, but they're stuck with 8 more carrots in their fridge and a half an onion. And maybe the food didn't even turn out that well because they're actually not really a good cook. And even though they followed the recipe, maybe it wasn't seasoned quite properly. And so they have bad experiences and then they stop. So, but, you know, if you're not systematic about going through and learning that, maybe taking a class or something like of that nature, that habit's going to take a lot longer because it's just more complicated.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I would love to talk a little bit too about kids. I know both of us are moms, and I don't know if you're there yet with your kids, but I sometimes struggle with getting my kids to eat things that are considered healthy. I mean, they're overall pretty good because we eat really healthy. So what I make, like, they have to try it. But I know a lot of people out there really struggle with this. You know, their kids only want to eat chicken nuggets and pizza and French fries. And I would love any thoughts or insights you have into helping your kids create these healthy habits and make eating these things fun. For me, I'm always like, let's make a fun smoothie. You know, let's put a little bit of this in there, a little flax. And they're like, what is that? I'm like, don't worry about it. Here we go.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I used to just not have kids and I used to just cite research. And mm-hmm. the research says that, after it takes like 20 bites for a kid to integrate, 10 to 20 bites for a kid to sort of integrate a new flavor. That's still true. But now that I have kids, my experience is a little bit more nuanced. And then again, like, I don't have older kids where they don't really have the option of challenging me. I mean, they'll say something that it's not their favorite, but for the most, what I've had to do, and this is almost embarrassing, but I realized that like So we, with that many kids, so close together, I have a nanny that was helping. And I just realized that my nanny is like not a chef and she couldn't make food taste as good as I can. Cause mm-hmm. I know what tastes good. And I know that you need to heat the pan up before you put oil in it. You can't just put cold food in a cold pan and expect right. it to turn out good. And, you know, the salting, like there needs to be more seasoning than just salt and garlic on every single thing you make. Mm-hmm. And so I have basically taken over. So my main job besides podcasting is I'm the personal chef of my kids.
Love it.
And because we don't eat, they're still too young to eat with us. Like they eat at 5 o'clock and it's just not, my husband's not done with work yet. So I cook for them and I talk to them a lot and I just make things. First of all, we don't have chicken nuggets or french fries or any, like they don't, my kids, like I've only seen those things in books. So they know that's not an option that they can eat. And when they, both of them, when they turned two, had got more picky. So I had a whole year where my oldest Zelda would, she didn't like carrots. She wouldn't eat anything orange. She would eat broccoli and kale, but that's it. She loved cauliflower. So I could always get her to eat cauliflower, but yeah, we had a rough, you know, that picky 2-year-old thing that happens. And my younger is just now starting to do that where they were both amazing eaters until they turned two. But I'm just writing it out. You know, I keep, you know, maybe I'll take a break from something they don't like for a couple months and then I'll cook it in a new way and give it to him again. And now she's eating, the oldest Zelda, she's eating everything again. Pretty much. She loves carrots. I had to learn to cook them a slightly different way, but here's the tip. Cook your carrots, roast them whole at 500 degrees, little oil, little salt, little cumin. And they like to add, like I was shocked because usually we cut everything up, but they like to eat them really long. But they're so, if you cook them at 500, they get like candy. They like get ooh, really yeah. soft and caramelized and they love them. They'll eat a whole bunch in one sitting. Like literally they'll eat 10 carrots, like 10 whole carrots in one sitting. So, you know, I just keep playing around with making things taste more yummy. They'll eat anything in a tortilla if I call it a taco.
Okay. So a lot of it too is like yeah. how you spin it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just assume I'm never like, try this. I always assume they're going to like it. I'm like, I think it's delicious. And they'll eat calamari. They'll eat, what else weird
so
things?
Fun.
My one of them thinks that kale and lentils are her favorite food. The other one, her favorite food is onions.
Okay. So that's incredible. Yeah. You know, my kids will eat things like, we love kohlrabi. So that's like a treat. You will slice kohlrabi, put a little salt on it.
I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah. So I get them interested in things. And a lot of that, what I found is when we go shopping together for it. So if I take them with to the farmer's market, especially, mm-hmm. and we're like, ooh, let's pick it out. And I'll specifically be like, can you pick that out for me? Because then they feel like they're involved and then they get a little bit more excited about it. But it definitely has like gone, there have been times where it's been harder and then it gets a little easier. And I definitely understand the struggle with getting your kids to eat healthy things. You know, it's kind of just, I think the persistence, like don't give up. If you're listening, don't give up.
Yeah,
keep totally. Trying.
And you know, didn't have kids and people would always give the advice of like, get the kids involved. But when you have 2-year-olds, like getting them involved is like a 45 minute situation. So I get that parents don't necessarily have the time mm-hmm. to like sit and watch the kid cut strawberries for 45 minutes, but there's definitely other things they can do. Like I'll help them like, just, can you fill up the water cup till we measure it for mm-hmm. this? Or can you put this amount of salt in the thing? And yeah, they love stuff like that. And having a garden is really nice too. I mean, mm-hmm. I am not a green thumb. I'm trying to learn. I'm like taking a gardening class, but so I have my first garden that I've done completely myself, but like just having them have the experience of pulling a carrot out of the ground. You know, I don't really make grow enough to eat. We have a tiny little thing, but they get so excited and now we have to go cook it and they are excited about that carrot. So yeah, anything like that is always makes it more fun for them.
For sure. So I would love to just chat a little bit about being a working mom because you took some time off. I took actually 6 years off when I had my kids and then I went back and it was a big adjustment for me when I went back. And I really, in the beginning, struggled with wanting to still do everything that I was doing as a stay-at-home mom with my career. Like I didn't want to give up the grocery list and the shopping. And I had problems delegating. I've gotten much better. And now I, you know, work for myself, work from home, but wondering how you're navigating and any insights or tips that you have to help other women out there as they're going through their own personal struggles.
Yeah, totally. So I totally sympathize with what you said. Like I'm not I don't let anybody else do the grocery shopping. It never gets done right. So, but what I will do is for the basic stuff, I'll like order like from Whole Foods on the Amazon app or whatever to just, you know, at least that stuff's in the house and I can go to the specialty market myself. And that's only one trip instead of two. I have on my calendar, like a window of time that is when I go grocery shopping and nobody's allowed to book me anything during that time. I don't schedule podcasts or meetings. Like that's when I go grocery shopping. Otherwise this whole house is going to starve. And similarly, I block off an entire day, just like one whole day that I don't do anything but work, except work. I do work out, but I just get work done. So, and that has, for me, has been completely game changing. Like I kept thinking I was going to like launch my show. And I just couldn't pull it together because it's not like every single day was packed with mom stuff, but enough of every day was packed that there wasn't ever a chunk of time where I felt like I could like get in the zone and get my thoughts together and get stuff done. So I never made any progress. And so I think just being really militant about protecting your schedule and putting the things that you absolutely need to do on the calendar and saying, this is sacred. Make sure that somebody is in charge of making sure these other things are handled at this time so that I can do these things. And obviously sometimes it still explodes, but at this point, like 95% of the time I'm on track and it has been such a game changer. I honestly can't believe it. Cause it's like I said, no more time came out of the blue. I just managed it better.
That's awesome, right? It's like time blocking and really making that time to get your workout in. It sounds like that's important to you. And then to have the time for creativity, which I totally agree. For me, if I don't have a chunk of time, I can't get into that flow state and I get distracted with like, there's too much going on.
So nothing gets done. Like if I only have an hour, it's like, I sit down and I do emails and I have 30 minutes left and maybe I'll like do research one article and then it's over. Like nothing happens.
Where's the time go?
But if I have 4 hours, then I can really like sketch out a whole episode that I'm going to do and send a bunch of emails asking people if they can be guests. And it's a lot more happens.
Awesome. So at this point, we're coming towards the end. I would love for you to share any more insights you'd like to about your show. I'm going to put a link in the episode details, and then we're going to do a few closing questions for the wellness lightning round. So anything else you want to share before we jump into those questions?
I think one of the things that we've been struggling with a lot is the pandemic. Obviously, I don't take my kids to the grocery store because I'm still scared to take them to the grocery store. They're not vaccinated. And also there's been super isolated and, you know, they're just starting to do camp with masks on and they won't talk to other kids. Like it's just really hard. So parents, give yourself some grace and some slack in this time because it's like harder than ever. And similarly, so if one of your issues is that other people in your life won't get vaccinated, I actually have two really great episodes on vaccines that I've recently published. One is specifically about COVID vaccines. And I took questions from my audience for weeks about what their concerns were about the COVID vaccines and got an expert on, and I asked everything. And so that's a really good episode. And I also have one that just came out about just regular childhood vaccinations and adult vaccinations. And I know a lot of people have a lot of concerns about those. Those are two really great resources. If you're concerned about vaccination or if anybody in your life, you're trying to encourage them, I think I try to be really, really open-minded and ask the questions that I was hearing from nervous parents about how to handle vaccines and immunizations.
Well, those are incredibly important topics. So definitely resources that are incredibly valuable. And there will be a link in the episode details if you guys want to check that out. And then are you ready for the wellness lightning round? Going to ask you questions. All right. So first thing that comes to your mind, first question is, what's a book that you've read recently or listened to recently that you would recommend?
Oh my gosh. So I read so many books. Gosh, I just reread Dune and it's so good. And there's a movie coming out. I'm a big sci-fi fan. I also just read the entire like 8-book Expanse series.
Awesome. Perfect.
So good.
That's fantastic. Okay. Second question. What is something that you do for your self-care that is a non-negotiable that you have to get in every day or every week if it's not an everyday thing?
It's my fitness. It's my workouts. You know, actually something really specific and weird is I'm obsessed with the Supernatural workout on the Oculus.
Ooh, interesting.
You guys, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me because I normally don't like HIIT workouts. Mm-hmm. Like they're hard and miserable and I don't want to just pedal until I'm miserable. It's so hard and so fun. And the music is fantastic. And the scenery is beautiful. And you should follow me and I'll follow you back. I'm Daria Rose on Supernatural. It's awesome. I worked out on the moon this morning.
Oh my, how cool is that?
How cool is that?
So fun. And the music makes all the difference too. If there's good
music. That's what makes it fun. Yeah, exactly. Yes,
for sure. Okay. Last question. So knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to yourself from 10 years ago?
Ooh, I would say absolutely. If your husband wants to have kids earlier, stick to your guns and say no until you're ready, which is what I did, but it was a hard decision. Like in retrospect, I'm so glad that I made us spend time together as a couple. So we got married, we met 10 years ago. Okay. Exactly. We got married 3 years later and he wanted to have kids right away. And I was like, I was in school till I was 30. Like I need to travel. I need to do something fun. And we did that. And I'm so glad because now there's, well, we didn't know there was going to be a pandemic and now we have these kids and it's really hard to travel with them. It's like not as fun to travel with toddlers. It's a different experience. So,
right. For
I mean,
sure.
It can be fun, but it's not the same. So yeah, do your life. If you want kids, like do it when you're ready to be a mom intensely.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
This has been amazing. I was so excited to chat. I learned a ton myself. And definitely going to implement some of these things as I go forward. So thank you so much for taking the time to share all this incredible wisdom today. It was a blast. It was
my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
It was wonderful spending time with you today. Just one quick ask. This information is incredibly important to more than just you. So think of just one person today that you can share this episode with, and together we can spread this message that you don't have to sacrifice your well-being to attain success to others who need it. Valuable episodes like this one are published weekly so you and others can have the benefit of reaching your ultimate potential. So click the share button, get this episode into the hands of just one person you know who would gain great value from it. I will see you next week.